This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
God intends to resolve mankind's problems by establishing His kingdom on earth. And Jesus Christ, He's on a countdown from heaven, intending to reinstitute the very government of God. Stay with us. On today's program, we're going to address this very event from the pages of your Bible.
The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Bill Watson.
Again, welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God. It's good to be with all of you once again. You know, we opened today's program with a rather clear statement indicating that mankind is totally incapable of solving his own problems. And we made that implication when we stated the fact that God fully intends to solve man's problems. And the reason I say that is because I don't think I would get much of a debate from many of you in regards to the fact that the evidence seems to prove that mankind has failed time and time again in his attempt to try and achieve global peace. His history is fraught, my friends, and I think you would agree, with those failures. And I don't care how far you go back in history. You can go all the way back to the kingdoms of Babylon, or the Hittites and the Jebusites. You can look at the Philistines, or even consider God's own nation Israel, or Egypt, Assyria, Persia, the Greeks, the Romans, the Ottomans, and the Habsburgs, and even in modern times today, most recently, the demise of the Soviet Union there in about 1989 or so. All of these are illustrations of man's continued failure, time and time again, in his attempts to try and achieve world peace. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand that man has achieved peace from time to time, for a little while, in little pockets, in different times of history. Different cultures enjoyed certain bliss and peace among themselves. But I'm talking about in the long-term approach and view of mankind's history down through the millennia. I think you would agree that it is certainly a legacy of failure. And man has tried different types and methods as well. I think I can point out organizations like UNICEF and CARE, which were purposed with the objective of attempting to try to help those in less fortunate areas of the world, to aid them through starvation, drought, and famine, and different unfortunate conditions that they and those people experienced. We had the emergence of organizations like the League of Nations after World War I, which was another attempt to pull nations together to attempt to try and achieve world peace, along with NATO, which was used as a balance of powers during the Cold War era. And today, we have the UN, and the UN is used time and time again as a world's policeman, occupying nations that have been ripped and torn apart by the ravages of war. The UN has even been used in the more modern times to free the starving in areas of the world that have been affected by natural disasters like tsunamis or war, drought, famine, disease. These are all reoccurring conditions, my friends, that seem to repeat cycles time after time throughout generations after generations. And they pose the question, what are the solutions and where are the answers to so many of these problems that mankind seems to be plagued with over all these generations and all these millennia of years? We're going to talk a little bit about that. But before I do, I want to present to you our free offer today, as it is our rule here on the Armor of God. Do take notice of the phone number there that we would like you to call for this free offer. And I want to emphasize free, 888-578-8255. 8791. All you've got to do is dial that. Let the operator know that you would like the tape titled The Coming of the Lord by Van Stinson, one of the commentators here on the Armor of God. That's available, by the way, also on CD. Just let the operator know which medium you would prefer, be it cassette and or CD. As well, we have an additional free offer, a booklet titled Is the Kingdom of God Here Now? Question mark. It's a question. Is it? Both are free, as I say, and I want to emphasize this. No one is going to call you. No one is going to harass you for money. We are very thankful that those of you who are viewing this program, along with the sponsoring body in the majority, the Church of God International, provides the revenues that allows us to provide much of this material free of charge to all of you as an educational service to you. Just dial 888-578-8791, and don't forget about our website there at www.cgi.org. You'll find a lot more material there for your consideration, as well as the opportunity for you to view additional programs of the Armor of God that were previously broadcasted on a many variety of different subjects from additional commentators, and you can play a little catch up and watch them at your own convenience by just streaming them there to your computer. So dial now 888-578-8791, and don't forget our website at www.cgi.org. Now, back to this question about what are the solutions and where are the answers to man's problems? Well, we've already laid that out for you at the outset of this program, and I think as you can see on the title block there on the right of my shoulder, your left, that it is God. God's going to solve mankind's problems. Your Bible, my friends, is loaded with the information regarding how God is going to ultimately bring world peace to man's doorstep, to his habitat, to this earth, this ball of water and clay, as we call it, this blue jewel that's hung up in outer space, my friends. God is going to solve man's problems. And as I say, the Bible is loaded with this information. And frankly, God knew that it would come to this. I don't want to be too direct, but I think in today's program, because of time and so on, I need to be direct with many of us here in this regard, in that because God knew if man would not develop a relationship with him, ultimately, he would get himself all twisted up in such enormous problems because of his own nature of greed and lust and avarice, that ultimately we would be facing conditions that we're facing today that are almost so overwhelming that any logical mind would come to the conclusion that, frankly, it is somewhat absurd to think that man could solve these problems, especially in light of the diversity of so many different opinions, so many different points of view. As a matter of fact, these points of view and opinions and differences are so, what you could say, passionate that they border on the edge of hostility. And what I'm talking about is the differences of opinions of religion and politics, environmental management, health care, morals, what's right, what's wrong, economics, technology. Even for that matter, something as simple as diet, how to lose weight and how not to lose weight, what you should eat and what you shouldn't eat. Some of these problems, as I say, because of the diversity of opinions of so many people, it is almost ludicrous to think that man could solve these problems. As a matter of fact, I don't know about you, but I see things around me intensifying. I mean, if you're reading your newspapers, you're watching television and some of these news programs concerning trends and events that are going on, it seems to me things are intensifying in the categories of rumors of war and terrorism, unnatural affections. Same-sex marriages now are legalized, abortion, the growth in pornography, not to mention the additional threats, nuclear threats, on the international scene, along with the continuation of violent crimes. There's great disparity, my friends, so much disparity in the views of different countries, different cultures. There are issues of importance and priorities that vary, that drive certain ones to push this or to push that button in hopes that they're going to get the oil for the squeak that they have because they have differences of what is important and what's not important, you see. And the enormity of some of these issues, the variety of all of these issues, and the differences of opinion on how to handle these issues, for that matter, even how to prioritize these issues, are all driving the world's community of nations, my friends, your Bible talks about it, to a one world government. Almost like George Orwell's 1984, your Bible has information concerning an end time world ruling government that is going to be ruled by a tyrant that is going to think to change times and laws, require people to have what's called in your Bible a mark that if you don't have, you're not going to be able to work. You're not going to be able to function. You're not going to be able to integrate into the society. And I'm not talking about Orwell's book here, my friends. I'm talking about your Bible. Your Bible has many of these things scripted right in the pages that many of us perhaps don't even realize. I don't know how many of you understand or even recognize the fact, but your Bible is 25 to 30% prophecy. And that is history in advance, history that has yet to be written. It is information so that you might be able to know before things happen, so that when they do happen, you'll know they're from God. Oh, yes, that's right, my friends. God has put these things in His Bible so that you can recognize the fact that when these things happen, they are indeed from Him. Now, what am I talking about? Well, I want to go through a few things here, and I want to start in the book of Daniel chapter 2, because the book of Daniel begins to lay out some very pragmatic information for all of us to hopefully recognize and begin to comprehend and understand that the world itself is on a trend. It is being steered toward an ultimate end that has already been written here many thousands of years ago and which was transcribed by a prophet named Daniel, who at this time was in captivity in the Empire of Babylon. And he was called upon to interpret a dream by the king of that nation, that empire. His name was Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar called all of his sorcerers and priests and seers to tell him what did he dream. He didn't just want to know what the interpretation was. He wanted to know what he dreamt as well, because in that way he would know who indeed was really telling him the truth. Well, make a long story short, because I don't have a lot of time to go through it, and I'll leave it up to you to perhaps read the information there in Daniel chapter 2, verses about 1 through 35 or so, to get the gist of what this was all about and what it contained and contended with. But suffice it to say, it was all about an image. The image had a head of gold and breast and arms of silver and a belly and thighs of brass and legs of iron and feet that were made of part of iron and clay. You can read about that in verse 32 of Daniel 2. Well, Daniel interprets this dream and helps us to understand where we need to begin in understanding these particular prophecies of what this all means in terms of how God is going to solve man's problems. Because you see, this is not going to be stuff that we can spiritualize away, my friends. This is not symbolic. These are not things that are surreal or esoteric. This is real nuts and bolts, meat and potato information that was written by a guy named Daniel to tell you and me in the latter days how God was going to bring to conclusion humanity's issues, resolve them, and finally, through intervention, usher world peace onto this planet we call planet Earth. This is the beginning of where we can commence understanding about how God is going to do that. And Daniel essentially states, and as you will see here, mentions the fact that Nebuchadnezzar is that head of gold. So right off the bat, my friends, we begin to understand that this particular prophecy is time sensitive. It commenced with Nebuchadnezzar. And we can go back in history. You don't need literature from us. Just go back in history. Read your history books. You will find that there is legitimate proof proving Nebuchadnezzar did indeed live, and Nebuchadnezzar was indeed the king of Babylon during this time when Daniel was alive and claimed he, Nebuchadnezzar, was the king of gold. Now, going forward from that, Daniel says there would be some succeeding empires. Your Bible identifies those empires. You don't need me to try to espouse my ideas here about what those empires were. Your Bible interprets itself in this regard. And suffice it to say, after these succeeding empires, there is a fourth empire. That's right, there were actually three succeeding empires after Babylon, with the fourth in Daniel's vision here in chapter 2 being the worst. Let me take some time here. I'm already there at Daniel 2 to read some things here in Daniel 2 to bring your attention to this particulars of this fourth kingdom. Verse 40, chapter 2, book of Daniel. The fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. For as much as iron breaks in pieces and subdues all things, and as iron that breaks all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas you saw the feet and toes part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it of the strength of iron, for as much as you saw the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Interesting characterization. Goes on here, verse 43, Daniel 2. And whereas you saw the iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, indicating an ethnic multiplicity here of multiple nation states perhaps mixing together and contributing to the fact, perhaps because of their own differences, of their difficulty in getting together and staying together. It goes on here and he says, but they shall cleave one to another even as iron is not mixed with clay, indicating some difficulty and trouble. In the days of these kings, okay, these we're now talking about the last days. This is the context that Daniel is writing us about. Shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed? Did you hear that? God is going to set up a kingdom in the days of these literal, physical, material kings who represent literal, real nations of the world, my friends. And hence, God is going to take control, intervening in human affairs. He says here that the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces, consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Now, I want to take you over to Daniel 7 real quickly here. Daniel 7, because Daniel 7 is an overlay of Daniel 2. Different figures that are used, because now we're going to be talking about beasts rather than materials like gold and silver and brass and so on. Nevertheless, this particular vision, again, Daniel is what you could say core to the translation of the interpretation. But unlike the first vision, this vision directly comes to Daniel. The first one there in Daniel 2 was a dream of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. But this one is personally given to Daniel as a vision. Daniel goes through Daniel verse chapter 7, verse 4, the description of approximately four different beasts, with which the fourth beast is just incredibly evil-looking. He calls the first one a lion in verse 4, a bear in verse 5, and a leopard with four heads in verse 6. And then in verse 7, he states, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. Interesting. There's that word iron again that correctly and explicitly connects up with Daniel chapter 2. It has iron teeth. It devoured in broken pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. It had 10 horns. Well, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in his horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Now, we're going to come to understand who this man is and how he interacts, interplays, and is connected to this fourth beast by letting the Bible, not me, You don't need to know what I think about all this. What we want to know here is what the Bible says and how the Bible interprets itself about these yet-to-be events for the future of human history that is still yet out ahead of us, my friends, so that when it happens, let it be known, so that when it happens, you know these things are, in fact, from the living God. Look at this here. In verse 16, Daniel 7, I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this, and that is the angel that was bringing Daniel this message. So he told me and made me to know the interpretation of the things. Okay, here's the interpretation now of what the preceding verses are all about as you read in Daniel 7. These great beasts which are four are four kings which shall arise in the earth. So there you go. There are four kingdoms, four kings. Verse 18, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom, possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. So ultimately, as I've often said, the good guys win. That's right, the good guys win. Now, notice this here in verse 19. I would know that the truth of the fourth beast. So we're going to key in now on the fourth beast. Now, this is the beast that comes up in the latter days, which is going to be such a nemesis to the whole world, including Christians. Oh yes, my friends, there is another great martyrdom ahead for Christians, people who believe in Jesus Christ. Now I want you to notice here in verse 19 what Daniel says. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass. He goes on here, which devoured in broken pieces, stamped the residue with his feet, and of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the others which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even the horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same, that is the horn, the same horn, made war with the saints and prevailed against them. And you can read about this horn in Revelation 13, where you connect up those beasts in Revelation 13 with Daniel 7, because you'll see the same characterizations, the same figures of speech mentioned in Revelation 13, which illustrates to you that end time characterization of that government, which ultimately is going to essentially take control of the whole world. Notice, and I'm not making it up here, the Bible tells us it's going to take control of the whole world. In verse 23, look at this. Or let's go back up to verse 22. Verse 21. Let me go back to 21. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints, prevailed against them. So this same horn prevailed against the saints until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus, he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be different from all kingdoms, shall devour, look at this, shall devour the whole earth and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. Another shall rise after them. He shall be diverse from the first. He shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints. Look at this. Of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. They shall be given into his hand until a time, times, and a dividing of times, 3.5 years. But the judgment shall sit. They shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it in the end, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Thereafter, Daniel became sick. What did Daniel tell us? He told us of a king that rises up, characterized as a little horn with a big mouth, and takes on face to face those who claim allegiance to Jesus Christ and will be given for a time as he coalesces a power with 10 kings in the latter day to go ahead and what you could say exceed and stamp out and prevail over the saints of Jesus Christ. There's going to be martyrdom on those people who believe in Jesus as the Son of God, and rightly so, because they will refuse, my friends, the mark that is going to be required by this tyrant in order for you to work and to integrate with the society at large. This stuff is coming. But the fact that I want to, and the point that I want to illustrate and make here for all of you to remember and to really consider, is that ultimately, God is going to set up a kingdom. It's pointed out in Isaiah 2. It's pointed out in Micah chapter 4 and in Isaiah chapter 9, where we are told that there will be no end to his government and to his kingdom, my friends. And consequently, it will be an everlasting, ever-growing kingdom with Jesus Christ, as pointed out in Zechariah 14, verse about 9 or so, ruling and reigning as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords on this planet. But this is real stuff. It's not what you could say pablum. It's not things that are esoteric. These are not things that are surreal. These are real events dealing with real people, dealing with real cultures in a time that is really contained in this three-dimensional world, my friends, of which God says, ultimately, if it weren't for his intervention, man would destroy himself. So what am I saying? I'm saying thank God that God is coming back to save us from ourselves. We have a few closing comments. Stay with us, and we'll see you right back here next week.
Bill Watson has put a spotlight on the kingdom of God as the solution to the world's ills. You know, Adolf Hitler had a final solution that was pretty ugly. And there are many people today who even conclude that the church, that aggregation of people who allegedly represent Jesus Christ, that church is the kingdom of God here on earth. Well, my friends, there are some problems with that. I believe they have suggested this erroneously because of something that the scriptures suggest. In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter and verse 50, Paul says that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The fact of the matter is, I am a representative of Jesus Christ, and this is something Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. 2 Corinthians 5 suggests to us what our capacity is as a representative of Jesus Christ. It uses the word ambassador. Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray, you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And now we are on a mission as ambassadors, emissaries for that coming kingdom, to represent to other people access to that same kingdom. And while we're still in the flesh, we are representing that coming kingdom. You cannot go into the society and think that you can join all kinds of groups and facilities and run for political office and you're going to take over the world. If that were true, why would Jesus need to return? Can you answer that question? If I can be elected to an office, join a club, have an impact on the world that will change the world, bring it to repentance, there would be no need for Jesus to return to the earth. And my friends, I'm looking forward to his return to establish his kingdom here on the earth. If you want to know more about it, what about making that toll-free call to receive the literature, Is the Kingdom of God Here Now? And a sermon tape by Van Stinsom, either in cassette or CD, let us know which you prefer, The Coming of the Lord. Both of these items are yours toll-free if you'll dial 1-888-578-8791. Till next time, I'm Bronson James reminding you, put on the whole armor of God, my friends, that you will be able to stand.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.